Blog Talk Radio.
In the Gospel of John, Jesus said the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. The thief that steals, kills, and destroys lives came in under the guise of Roe v. Wade in 1973. Since then, approximately 61 million babies have been murdered. Statistics say that approximately 3,700 babies are aborted in the U.S. daily. And there are approximately 1.3 million children brutally losing their lives every year. But March for Life New York was established to bring awareness of this tragedy and to bring an end to Roe v. Wade in our lifetime. For we aim to be history makers in our generation. Here are your hosts, pro-life activists, Pastors Jim and Joni Lupus.
Well, hello, history makers. You're listening to March for Life New York Radio, New York's pro-life radio. I'm your host, Pastor Joni Lupus, president of March for Life New York, coming to you tonight with a little help from my friends. Pastor Jim is here.
Hey, guys. How are you?
And Andy White is here. Let's all say hi.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And we're coming to you live from our New York studio, and we just upgraded our equipment for your listening to be more enjoyable. So let us know where you're listening from and if we're coming in loud and clear in your area. We want to thank all our listeners tonight. We want to say a big hello to all our listeners. I believe people are listening on Facebook. They're watching on YouTube Live. And we also want to welcome all our listeners around the world on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor Jim, tell us where they're listening from tonight on the radio.
Well, I'd like to welcome everyone from India and Finland. God bless you guys. You've been growing in our listening audience, and Switzerland, Philippines, Canada, the Netherlands, Brazil. God bless all of you guys. We're so thankful for you. And, of course, all across the United States.
What about Brooklyn?
Brooklyn? There's nobody from Brooklyn on the line. No. And we always have my favorite town, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
And I came all the way from Riverhead.
Riverhead. Okay.
From Riverhead.
Wow. Far out east there. And if you're new to March for Life New York Radio, we want you to know we're a non-for-profit ministry. Our purpose to educate the public on the horrors of abortion, to fight for the life of the innocent preborn babies, and of course to help the moms and dads who chose to end their baby's life by abortion, to help them find healing and forgiveness in the loving arms of Jesus, where we all go, right, for healing and forgiveness. And we want you to know that we are all in these stressful times together, and we're here to pray for you and with you. We will be having an hour of prayer every Thursday at 8 p.m., and you're all invited to join us. We'll be holding a prayer video on Zoom. And if you'd like to join us, please send me your email. Send your email to march4lifeny@gmail.com. Again, that's march4lifeny@gmail.com, and I'll send you an invite. All you have to do is hit that invite on your email, and you go to the link, and this will be every Thursday at 8 p.m. Everybody's welcome. You can even invite other people, right? So let's come together and call on the name of Jesus and pray. Pastor Jim, what do you think about that?
It's very important, especially now, and Zoom is great. We were doing prayer on Facebook Live. Then you can only see my wife and I. It was good to see my wife. Some people complained about seeing me. This way on Zoom, we can see one another. We can interact. Everyone can pray. It's not just about us praying. It's about everyone praying. And we want to lift up our nation, especially at this time.
Yes.
And on Zoom, we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to have people from all over the country, you know, calling in.
Yes.
And you could be anywhere. That's the best part. You could be anywhere.
Okay.
So send us your email. Where could they send the email to?
March4life. ny@gmail.com. It's up there on the screen. And there's a lot of people that say, well, we don't want anybody to see us. We want to go on Zoom. But that's fine. You could go on Zoom and just hit that you're not being seen with the video. Just hit that video off, and you can still watch us, and you can still speak to us. So we're happy about that. It's going to be a great time of prayer. We really need to come together in prayer, right?
Amen.
Don't you think you're going to be on?
The Remnant Awakening started in that prayer meeting.
That's right. That's right.
That's how this all started.
Amen.
The Remnant Awakening started with the prayer meeting, which led to the beginning of March for Life.
That's right.
A progression of things, you know, the providence of God leading us.
That's right.
All begins with prayer. Amen.
Yeah, so it's a good thing, right? So you're going to be on?
I'm planning on.
Yeah, so Andy will have Andy will zoom in. He'll have some words of wisdom for you. I'm sure he will. And tonight our guest is Catherine Davis. She is a pro-life speaker and the founder of the Restoration Project. Catherine reached out to me a few months back before all this crazy stuff started. And Catherine, we want to welcome you tonight to March for Life New York Radio.
Oh, I got orders for
everybody.
Catherine, I have one for you too, and I don't know how I'm going to get it to you. That's the problem.
So welcome, Catherine. We're so glad. I'm sorry, Pastor Jim is interrupting with the water, but we're all dying of thirst here. So Catherine,
teach this man how to block a shot.
Tell our listeners, Catherine, what have you been up to?
Oh, well, I started the year out with a word, I believe, from the Lord to have me start going back to pastors' wives and ministry leaders and pastors this year to get the word out about abortion's impact, particularly in the Black community. So I am working hard to raise the funds so that I can go to at least 16 states is what I was hoping for before all of this crazy started happening with the virus. But I'm still hopeful that I can get to 16 states and meet with pastors and women of influence who can help spread the message of abortion's devastation in the Black community. And then talk about how we vote our values rather than our victimhood rebuilding our families across the nation.
That's great. Well, you know, it's not canceled what God called you to do. It's just postponed for now. You know, so we know
exactly
that everything's postponed. So we'll give you more time to get everything together and be in prayer and get some prayer people behind you. So that's a good thing, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will give me time. The Lord told me there's 100 people that will give me $1,000 so that I can go. And before everything got shut down, I found 23 of them. So this little hiatus will give me time to find the rest of them who will contribute $1,000 so that I can go reach the number one customer of abortion. And even as we're in this time of social distancing ourselves from others, you can clearly see abortion and its impact simply by taking a moment to look at what's happening in these abortion centers. Many states across the country have asked all elective procedures to be shut down and those resources redirected to help in this crisis. The one elective procedure all across the country that has not shut down for 1 minute are the abortionists.
That's right.
Are continuing to and even posting on their websites.
That's right.
For you to come in now, because if you wait, it's going to cost you more money later. It's unbelievable how they are prostituting this crisis in America.
And that was my next question. I have it right here in my notes. Everything's closing down because of the evil virus, but the abortion clinics remain open. that's a good discussion for all of us. What can we do to fight for life in this dark time that we're living in? People are hiding in their house. Even the pro-lifers don't want to come out. The Christians don't even want to come out. So what do we do now to fight for life? The abortion clinics are open. They're putting ads out on Facebook that they're going to still do abortion. What can we do to continue to fight for life?
Keep exposing the darkness.
Every single one of us should be calling our governors, our mayors, and saying, look, shut these places down. Now, here in Georgia, where I live, 62% of the abortions in my state are on black women. I had sidewalk counselors calling me over the weekend and sharing with me what they were seeing. First of all, there were way more than 10 people in the abortion centers at a time. In some cases, like down in Columbus, Georgia, I'm told that somewhere between 20 and 50 people were being crowded in at the same time because patients would come and they would bring their escort, someone with them, one or two people with them, and they were all crowded in there together. Now, if you know anything about healthcare in the black community, we are impacted more than I think other people groups in the nation by many of the diseases that they are warning us about, asthma, respiratory kinds of diseases, cancer. I mean, if you go to the CDC website, breast cancer is an epidemic in the black community among black women. And yet they are not shutting down these abortion centers where the number one customer going into them are black women. And so those women are going in and they may get the virus themselves and then they're going to take it home to grandma or Uncle Joe or the baby that has leukemia or some type of cancer, and they're going to breathe those germs on them, and then we're going to have a greater exposure of families to this virus that is so deadly for many people. And yet you don't see, only two or three states that I know of have come out and specifically said, shut down abortion centers or we're going to come to you, like Ohio.
What
states?
Ohio is one that readily comes to mind. And there were two others that I saw, and as we're talking, I'll look them up.
Wow, crazy.
There are two more. Yeah.
You know what's amazing? You know what gets me? So many people run in fear.
Yes.
Most people are fearful.
That's right.
And I can understand that, but they're afraid to go to the store. They're afraid to go to the bank. They're afraid to go to church. They're afraid. But they're not afraid to have an abortion. They're not afraid to go to a Planned Parenthood, an abortion
They should be
clinic.
Afraid before they,
I mean,
even if there
well,
was
here,
no virus.
Here's a diabolical spirit.
No doctors doing it, right?
This is the diabolical spirit of the age, where Satan is working overtime to shut down the Church of the Living God while he keeps open his altars of sacrifice and Planned Parenthood.
Children, yeah. I agree.
Interesting dilemma.
I agree.
Interesting situation,
yeah. That's
and you know what? It's shutting everybody down. I hate to say this, but it's also shutting the pro-life, shutting the Christians down. Everybody's inside and worried about not having toilet paper. And they forget that every day these babies are being murdered by abortion.
It's such a demonic stronghold.
It really is.
On Saturday, right here in Atlanta, one of the abortion centers sent a woman out in the ambulance. Now, did she make it? We don't know. But they're killing the babies for sure, and they are coming for the mothers now because they're not telling the women the longer you wait to get this abortion, the greater the threat to your life. But they're also not telling the women. I was reading a report just today. One abortion center, the abortion doctor, was 80 years old. What the heck is an 80-year-old man doing in an operational, in an operating room environment?
Not only that, they don't have to be doctors. Yeah, they don't even have to be doctors anymore in New York. People are doing abortions that are not even doctors.
It's unconscionable what they would do to excuse, you know, killing children as a part of their population control efforts around the country. And unfortunately, the number one group being most impacted by their population control efforts was the Black community.
Yep, it really is. And Catherine, I really want to speak to you about that. We're just going to cut to a commercial, but I really want to talk to you about the impact that abortion has on the Black community. We'll be right back.
This portion of March for Life New York Radio is brought to you by FELAC Electric. For over 30 years, with over 40,000 electrical installations, we have earned our customers' trust and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. When a FELAC electric service vehicle arrives at your home, it is fully stocked and ready for all your electrical service needs. Your service technician is trained and prepared to provide prompt, efficient, and courteous service. We bring decades of quality and experience, and FELAC Electric holds all local and incorporated village licenses and is fully insured and bonded for your protection. So give us a call, FELAC Electric, for all your electrical needs. Call us today at 516-932-7900 or 631-420-1700. FELAC Electric, done once, done right.
Need information on abortion, fetal development, or Down syndrome? Check out ProLifeED.org. Would you like to know about assisted suicide, Black genocide, or eugenics? Check out ProLifeED.org. Like to learn more about bioethics, euthanasia, or post-abortion syndrome? Check out ProLifeED.org. That's ProLifeED.org. Sponsored by the Long Island Coalition for Life Educational Trust Fund.
Well, we have returned, and you're listening to March for Life New York Radio. I'm Pastor Joni Lupus, and our guest tonight is Catherine Davis. And we do have an important announcement for you. Because of this virus, because of the health scare, we will be postponing the March for Life New York. We are not canceling it. We are postponing it until further notice. We return from Albany and the New York State Capitol, where we were having our annual March for Life, and we received word that the governor has postponed all large events. In fact, while we were there, they were closing down the Capitol building. So we will reschedule the 5th annual March for Life New York. Again, we're not canceling it. We're postponing it. We will march for life in New York at a later date. So keep watching, keep listening, and we will let you know. It's a tragic thing that's affecting everyone. Amen.
Yep.
So we're praying for all the people that have been ill from the virus. And we just want to let you know that we're here for you and we want to pray with you. We also have another message from the 40 Days for Life. They canceled all their vigils and asked us to continue to pray at home to end abortion. And as always, if you're watching or you're listening by radio, and if you're pregnant and you need help, please, we're still here to help you. Don't think that no one's here to help you, because we are. You can call me at 631-681-7275. He's putting it up on the board. I'll tell you again if you're listening by radio. Give me a call if you need help. My number is 631-681-7275. And we're here to help wherever you're listening from. We have a network of people that want to help you, folks that care about you and the and your baby. Again, that number is 631-681-7275. And if you're watching or listening, please share our video on your page, like us on Facebook, subscribe to March for Life on YouTube, and please continue to support March for Life New York. You can go to marchforlifeny.org, all letters this time. That's the website, marchforlifeny.org, to donate.
Amen. And Catherine, I know the black community and the pro-life stance is very heavy on your heart. I know you're very involved with it. My question to you is, how do we get the black community more involved in the pro-life work?
Well, you know, it's an interesting issue, because the average black person will tell you that they are pro-life, but they can't tell a woman what to do with their bodies. But the strategy that the Lord has given to me is to go to the women of influence, the pastors' wives, the ministry leaders, because they will know. Many of them have had abortions themselves, but they will know how to get into our churches with this message of life, and to get them activated to take a more visible stance on the life issue. And I tell you, it does work. For the last 3-4 years, Dean Nelson, who is with the Douglas Leadership Institute and Human Coalition, and myself have attended the various conventions and conferences of the Church of God in Christ. They are the largest black denomination in the country. And as a result of the work that Dean and I have done with them over these years, this past November, they signed a unanimous resolution declaring their 7 million member denomination pro-life, and that they will build pregnancy centers where women can come and get resources and get help. They're actually going to build medical facilities that will provide free pre- and postnatal services. They will adopt any child slated for abortion, and they will adopt children out of foster care.
Who's leading this again? I'd love to get them on the show.
His name is Bishop Vincent Matthews, and I will certainly put you in touch with him.
Great. That would
so
be great.
Can talk about it.
I like to hear that, because I'll tell you why. I've had a lot of wonderful pro-life black friends, a lot of them in ministry. And when I, you know, some of them didn't even know about the situation, what was going on, you know, in Mahaffa. I had them watch it. And then I said to them, they were very upset when they saw it. Of course, we all are when we watch that and we see what's going on. But they, and then I said, why don't you go to all to the black pastors and tell them, you know, go and speak to them. And they don't want to go. The people that I know that are pro-life, they don't want to go and speak to anybody because they said the pastors won't like me. They're not going to like it if we go and tell them that they have to be pro-life. So I'm happy to hear that you have churches.
I don't think that we go and tell them that they have to be pro-life, but I do think that we go and speak with them about the impact of abortion. So
yeah, good.
If you look at the statistics, 20 million plus black lives have been lost to abortion. That is more than the entire black population in America in 1960.
Catherine, why do you think it's so hard? Excuse me. This is Andy White. Why do you think it's so hard, from your perspective, in the black community? Demographically, abortion in the black community is so much higher than in the white community. Why do you think that's the case?
Because the black community has been targeted by Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood organization from its inception. They launched the Negro Project in 1939, and ever since they have been leading the charge to get black women to control their births, so to speak. And so they specifically market to the black woman. I don't know if you have recognized this, but any time they want to talk about any of the laws that a state might pass to try to help make abortion more safe. The first thing that Planned Parenthood and other abortion activists say is that you're going to deny access to, quote, women of color if you allow this law to stand. Well, if you remember back in the 50s and the 40s when the civil rights movement began, one of the leading things that black people were asking for was access to the public square. We wanted to be able to get on a bus or go into the Five and Dime and get a sandwich or go into a hotel and get a room without regard to the color of our skin. So we were asking for access. We were asking for the right to self-determine in this nation, that we should be able to chart a path for ourselves that would bring us into the promise of the Declaration for Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness. We were marching for justice. We wanted to stop the many lynchings that were happening and where people were being allowed to escape even though they murdered someone like Emmett Till. So, but those are the three primary terms that the abortion industry uses: access, self-determination, and they threw reproductive in front of justice so that the black community would think that abortion is akin to a civil right. Because they have cloaked their language in civil rights language and the pro-woman movement, the feminist movement, it appears that when reasonable people like you and I start talking about ending abortion, that we're denying women a civil right.
I think what puzzles me is what is in the psyche, if I could use that terminology, within the black community itself, in light of the history of oppression, in light of the history of genocide, what's in the psyche of the black community itself to be perpetuating a self genocide. I think that's the thing that's puzzling me.
Yes.
Because if you are indoctrinated to believe a lie, then every time you hear the key words of that lie, it triggers that you're being denied something. They have told the black community that this is a civil right that you're entitled to. It's a constitutional right for you to be able to take the life of your child. And you remember the slave master that made you have their children. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. You remember when your children were forcefully ripped from you and sold away. Well, guess what? You can control that today. And
that's an interesting point. Okay.
And it's the same thing if you look at... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's an interesting point. So I'd ask from your perspective, because that's an interesting, I can understand that aspect of it as you explain it that way.
Yes, just look at the legislators at the state level that have been offering their own version of legislation in order to combat what the legislation is fighting for, right? Right here in Georgia, we just had a bill offered this year by a black woman legislator that if you're going to take away our right to our constitutional right to abortion, then all men should be required to have vasectomies.
Oh, that's
literally, that was a bill that was offered. In Ohio, when Ohio was considering their heartbeat bill, a black legislator offered an amendment to the bill that would exempt black women because of slavery. So black women shouldn't be made to comply with the law if they pass this heartbeat bill. Every other woman would have to comply with it except black women, because, you see, during slavery, black women were self-aborting to keep from having the master's child and all of this crazy stuff mm-hmm. that they are promoting as a constitutional
terrible.
Right.
It's yeah. really terrible because it keeps people bound, you know, and,
yeah.
and women today, black women are free today. You know, and they don't have to listen to that's the devil really telling them, you know, that they have to get involved with abortion because and especially Christian women, black Christian women, all Christian women, right? When God sets us free, we're free indeed. But we don't have to follow what we're told and feel like we're walking around dopey, mopey and without hopey. We have victory in Jesus, right? Whether we're black
that's
or white,
right.
yeah. don't be moping, we're hoping. So we're listening to these people telling us, well, the black women, all women, listening to these people telling us that, you know, we have to do this, we have to do the other thing. You know what? All we have to do is go to God, let him set us free and listen to him, you know, and let him bless us and use those children that we have. Give them life, whether we keep them or we have to give them to someone else to raise. Let them have life, you know?
Well, one of the things, and even when we look at Mayafa 21, and we look at even what you're saying, Catherine, it's so incredible. I'm a white person. I'm sure for a black person, it runs so much deeper. And what gets me on this is when you look at abortion, you look at the people in Planned Parenthood,
yeah.
you look at the founders of Planned Parenthood and the people Margaret Sanger. But you know what is so demonic, and you hate giving kudos to people, but when you look at their game plan, Margaret Sanger was a genius. You get people, you know, in early pro-abortion people, they were very smart. They did. When I look at their plans, how they put it together, it's like unbelievable. As they target, as Catherine just said, as they target black women with the slavery issue, the civil rights issue. You know, Andy, like you said, now you understand. Well, think about it. All of a sudden, you know, when you're faced with a civil rights issue, anything, now we become sensitive. Anybody's going to take out civil rights. It's highlighted. And we're on guard.
The point of being counterintuitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so many different things. And you know what? To different groups of people, they'll target. They don't use the same thing with each group. They target different groups. Look at how many white women they're protesting on the women marches
something.
And stuff like this.
Something.
Like, you know, we're denying them something. We need to get smarter, don't you think, Catherine?
Hey, you know what? You want to know something, Catherine? I thank God for you. I thank God for you, but I just want to say, every black woman that's listening, and man, don't let this happen. Get out there and start speaking. Let people know that abortion is killing the women and killing the children, and it's evil. I think all the black women, black Christians especially, should be out there, you know? And I thank God for Catherine that she's out there, but I'd like to see a lot more, you know? I really would like to see a lot more.
Well, I think it's happening slowly but surely. As we talk about it, I think you can see more and more black women waking up to the fact that abortion is not our friend, particularly in light of the health care crisis that is now so prevalent in the black community. I thank God for Dr. Angela Lanfranchi. She was one of the first surgeons that recognize the link between breast cancer and abortion.
That's right.
And, And she began to sound the alarm, like something is wrong. We have younger and younger women presenting with breast cancer. And now I think black women can see it because we are disproportionately impacted by abortion. We now have an epidemic of breast cancer in the black community. Also, the link between abortion and premature birth in children that are quote unquote wanted. We have an extreme premature birth rate in the black community today. And so we are seeing a greater impact health-wise. You have more and more women because these abortionists care nothing for women, absolutely nothing for women. And many of them go in there able to have children, and they come out without their child, but then their fertility is taken as these doctors perforate their uteruses or pull out their bowels or all the other things that you hear about. So, yeah, I think it is happening, and I think you're right. We do have to get smarter in how we are presenting life in this day and age. We have to stop using the abortionist language as we
That's
are talking
right.
about what is happening with life. You know, we can't call the child a fetus. They have objectified
right.
the child.
Yeah.
It's a
That's
baby.
Right.
It's infant
Amen.
Life in the womb.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Catherine, hold that for one second. We're going
to
come right back to you.
How we're talking about it and coming to the 21st century. They're not debating whether or not the baby is a baby anymore. They're no longer calling it a clump of cells. That's what we are doing. They acknowledge it's a baby, and if I don't want to be pregnant, you shouldn't make me have to be pregnant. So
that's big.
We have to talk about it for what it
Amen.
Is.
And we will.
And
we will.
We instill a value
That's
for
right.
life.
We gotta, yeah, that's it. We're going to come right
don't
back.
Go away,
Catherine.
Like in this conversation.
The Long Island Coalition for Life has been helping communities choose life for more than 40 years through public outreach, legislative advocacy, prayer, and education. The Long Island Coalition for Life invites you to join their efforts to restore respect for the sanctity of life through the Stand Up for Life and Face the Truth events, street fair booths, oratory contests, and vigils. Visit the Long Island Coalition for Life at www.prolifeli.org, where you can read the LICL newsletter, Life News, and find information on local pro-life resources. Find out how you can be a part of effective pro-life action by calling 631-243-1435. That's 631-243-1435. Or visit our website at www.prolifeli.org.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Broken Land, God's Message in a Bottle, is a book written by Gail Koop that speaks God's truth into a culture that has thrown it away. Through a prophetic dream about a baby in a bottle thrown in the trash, God revealed his heart about abortions and compelled Gail, who had two abortions herself, to write about it as the moral debt ceiling of today's culture. Because when you throw life away, what else can possibly matter? Gail is a modern-day Jeremiah, crying out to a lost generation. Broken Land, God's Message in a Bottle. Available at Amazon.com and Olive Press Publisher. For more info, contact Gail Koop about interviews or speaking engagements. Go to BrokenLandBook.com. That's BrokenLandBook.com.
Wow, we're back and we're speaking with Catherine Davis. We're having a great conversation. I just want to say something. I said something before. I made a statement that we need more wonderful black women to go out there and sound the alarm like Catherine Davis. But I have so many friends out there, like I have Marsha Elliott and others, that they are beautiful women of color, and they're my friends. We pray together, and they are sounding the alarm, and I thank God for them. I know they're watching. I want them to know I love them, and I'm so blessed to be their friends.
Amen. Amen.
So what were we talking about before?
Well, energizing the black community. We need to energize everybody. We need to energize Christians, and how I feel, Catherine, I think if we get the black community on board and the church, the white church on board.
Yeah. And the black church,
but the whole church in general, abortion be eradicated ASAP, so many different things. But we're so grateful at all the tremendous pro-life leaders that are out there working so hard.
Yes, we are.
And my question, and I know I've asked you this before, but I really want to speak about it because I think we got to, it is no easy answers. Between, I hate even saying, there's a pro-life white community and a pro-life black community. How do we make it just, you know, and is there any disunity in that? Are we?
We asked her that before, too, when she was on the show,
yeah.
Right?
And I know for our listeners,
you always laugh when we ask her, too.
And I put you on the spot. I know I always put you on the spot.
Oh, poor Catherine.
You always do. But there,
well, we know you tell
us. And you know what? Because I want even, you know, yeah, and even with pro-life groups, I don't even know if it's a matter of white or black. I think some pro-life groups get cliquish.
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
true.
Sometimes we're used to the people we're with, and if somebody's not already involved with us, until they break in, until they get involved with us. We notice as March for Life New York, honestly, a lot of pro-life groups have been pretty clickish.
But some were great.
Some
big groups.
A lot of them have been
great. The Priest for Life were good to us. A lot of
40 Days for Life, just super. But Catherine, do you feel, and again, I'm going to ask you for our listeners that haven't heard this question, do you feel sometimes there's a disconnect between the black pro-life community and the white pro-life community?
Well, there is. I think that the scripture that comes to mind readily all the time is the scripture about the brothers who dwell together in unity. It's time for us to link arms together. We will not end this scourge, this greatest crime against humanity, until we come together and link arms.
Amen.
And say enough.
That's it.
And I think
Amen.
We have, too many of us have forgotten that we're talking about missing people.
That's right.
You know,
Amen.
60 million plus missing people
Amen.
From this nation.
Amen.
20 million plus of them are black. They're missing. They should be among us. They should have
That's right.
walked and talked and created and lived
That's
and
right.
rejoiced
Amen.
Amongst us.
Yep.
But we have forgotten that we're talking about a group of people who are missing from amongst us. And, you know, the black pro-life voice, if you will, has been oppressed and suppressed. We're not readily joining together to call attention to the impact to the black community. One, because many people fear they'll be called a racist if they talk about the impact to the black community. But at the same time, you know, they should join forces with those of us who can say it openly and not
That's right.
be deemed a racist.
That's right.
You know, this past August, a number of the black pro-life leaders from around the country came together and did a national day of mourning. We did a processional from Richmond, Virginia to Birmingham, Alabama, because
wow.
Planned Parenthood was building mega centers in Richmond, Charlotte, and Birmingham. And so we started in Richmond with trucks, cars, vans, buses, came down, stopped in Raleigh, North Carolina, stopped in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they just built a mega center in the oldest black neighborhood there, the Cherry neighborhood. And then we all came to Atlanta and spent the night in Atlanta and then went on to Birmingham. And the media was there. They were there in Richmond. When we left, they were in Atlanta. When we came together in Atlanta to get ready to leave that Saturday morning, they were in Atlanta and they were with us in Birmingham, but not one of them printed anything about that National Day of Mourning. Not a one. But they
Catherine,
were there.
Why wasn't I invited to this? I feel rejected.
Don't feel rejected. I'm sorry. But some from New York came. We had about 25 folks who came down from New York, because New York is the epicenter of abortion. It's where
it all got started. That's
and
right. It's the capital of abortion.
Oh, you want her mailing?
It's the capital of abortion.
And sometimes I feel like I'm rejected by the black pro-lifers. You know, I want them to come to the March for Life in New York, and I reach out to them, and I do. And, of course, again, I have a wonderful friends that are women of color that have been part of everything to help me with the March for Life New York. But a lot of the black community and the black pro-lifers, they don't. They don't want to be part of it. You know, they don't want to. Like you said, we have to work together.
I think there's what's the right word here? I think there's animosity, if you will, on both sides of the aisle, and white. And so we don't feel welcomed, you know.
Yes.
You
feel rejected.
But you're welcome by us. You're welcome.
Yes,
we want you. We want you at the March for Life New York. And, of course, I know you live far away. We want to be part of what you're doing, you know, whatever we can do. Because we have to work together, and I know what you're saying. You don't feel wanted, but honestly, sometimes I don't feel wanted by the black pro-life people.
So if you invite me when you guys reschedule the March for Life this year, if you invite me, I will come.
Okay.
I will definitely come and be there, because if we don't link arms together.
You have an open invitation. I'll tell you again later. But
awesome.
Everything we ever do, Catherine, you're always
welcome
to be with us.
And I just want to say
I will come and participate, because it is extremely important that we link arms together.
Yes.
And Catherine, I want to say, you said a very important word. You used the word rejection. And rejection, a feeling of rejection. People have a spirit of rejection.
Yes.
I know,
I had to be delivered from it because that's in any color.
And this is why I bring it out. Catherine, I'm not bringing it out just to have a conversation or talk about a point. I want to kill this thing.
Yeah, the spirit.
You know?
Yeah.
And I could see it. And you know what? It's easy. We can say from March for Life New York. I'm going on a radio. We're in different nations. March for Life New York wants to join hands, black, white, the Hispanic community. There's no prejudice here. We say not as phoniness or anything.
And honestly, everybody should see our grandchildren.
Oh, we got a little bit. We got a little bit of everything.
Of every shade.
And Catherine, I understand, but I want to say to you, I understand there's probably some organizations out there that have not been so welcoming to you. And honestly, I could even see, and you know what's funny, because, and I guess maybe you feel because it's black, and there's been some organizations that have been wonderful to us, but there's been a couple that have been pretty cold to us. And so I understand where you're coming from, and I know that hurt. So what Joni's saying is the black pro-life community feels sometimes rejection. And I got to tell you, we reached out to not everyone, but so many black leaders in the tri-state area. We made it open to everybody. We got great speakers. Pastor Bruce Rivers out in California.
He comes all the time.
We love him.
We love Pastor Bruce.
We love him.
Yes.
But honestly, Pastor Joni and I have never been invited to a black pro-life event.
It's true.
I even
told one fellow that has the Black March, because Pastor Bruce told me about it, that I should ask him about the Black March to come. He didn't even invite me. He didn't even say, oh, we'd love for you to come. Just to come and be there, not even to speak, just to be part of it. And it's right here in New Jersey. So it's, you know, now I'm giving his name.
Oh, no. That's it. Hold up right there. But so many times, we got
to
break this. Like you said, we got
to
go
off. You know, I've written my third book that will be released next month in April. The title is Black Babies Are Not Winning. And a chapter in that book talks about skin colorism. and how skin colorism was rooted in the eugenics movement prior to Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. We didn't identify people by their physical characteristics. Whatever your skin color were, was came secondary to your nation, your clan, and your tongue. So prior to Darwin's book, we identified as Catherine Davis, I'm American, I speak English, and I'm from the Klan Davis. And no one referred to another person by the color of their skin. But when Charles Darwin wrote that book, Origin of the Species, the remainder of the title of that book was The Preservation of the Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And that's when we began to identify each other by our skin color. But there's only one race, and it's the human
race.
That's right.
The human
race. I wanted to invite you guys to join me in putting down our eugenics roots. And it's hard. It is extremely difficult not to identify whatever's happening to you, what people are saying or what people are thinking by the color of your skin. It is so hard, but we have to be deliberate in putting that down and linking our arms together
with like-minded people.
That's right,
because we have one, especially Christians. I mean, God's our Father. You know, we're all connected by our Father.
Exactly. And if we are believers in Christ, then the Bible says we have become new creatures.
That's right.
The book of that word, it's a new ethnicity. It's a new a new nation called believer. I'm not even going to say Christian because you have people who identify as Christians today that are no more Christian than the man
in
the moon.
I totally agree.
Yes, we can come together, and that's what I'm encouraging. So I'm happy to link arms with you guys, and let us be deliberate in putting down those things that would keep us divided.
I agree with you 100%. And we love having you on the show. And I'll tell you something. I think things are going to change.
The change got to begin with us.
I really believe it.
With us,
I really do believe it. I tell
you
honestly.
And I think we got to be aware of it, and we got to push past it, and we got to be sensitive to it, and we got to do something about it, you know, on all levels. And Catherine, I got another great question for you. When we come right back.
Don't go away.
Because now we're going to. When I come back, I want to talk about Christians. Come on.
Bob and Phyllis have a legal battle ahead of them. It takes a lot to go up against big corporations. I'm Rudy Migliori. My law firm is the gateway to the powerful representation that you need.
Major corporations are big, powerful, and often international. They don't necessarily care about you or the suffering they have caused you. Their concern is how they can avoid liability.
Yes, you're muted.
I understand the suffering you're going through. Whether it's from asbestos exposure and you now have lung cancer, or mesothelioma, undisclosed side effects from medication, medical products, medical malpractice, destruction of auto accident. If you need powerful representation capable of standing up to these giants, we have that representation for you. My law firm co-counsels with a nationwide network of law firms, providing you with powerful representation and local personal service. Call me, Rudy Migliori. I'm your point of contact.
Need an electrician? Make sure he is licensed, insured, and qualified to do a safe job in your home. Unqualified workers can create unsafe conditions, leaving your home a potential fire hazard. Lightworks Electric is both licensed and insured with over 20 years' experience in the electrical field. If you have any electrical concerns, call Lightworks Electric at 631-575-1482. We always do it right. Need a panel change or hi-hats installed or replaced? Do you have any electrical repairs that need to be done? And are you looking for trustworthy, dependable, and honest electricians? Call Lightworks Electric at 631-575-1482. Lightworks Electric is family-owned, serving Suffolk and Nassau counties. Check out our webpage at lightworkselectricny.com. That's lightworkselectricny.com.
Wow, we return, and we're having such a good time today, right? We have a fantastic speaker on. Our guest is Catherine Davis, and we thank you for watching. You might have just turned in, so you have to go back and watch the video later because you'll miss a lot of good things, right, Pastor Jim?
Amen. Catherine, how do we get Christians involved? And I don't mean just for Christians to say they're pro-life, but how do we get pastors speaking about abortion in the pulpits, pastors ministering to the people in their congregation who are suffering from post-abortion, who are contemplating having abortion? How do we get the church, even the people in the church, to be more receptive to the pro-life movement?
Well, I think we do have to have resources available for pastors that would help them recognize that many of the women in their congregation have had abortions. Right now I'm working with a number of counselors and leaders from around the country to develop an easy resource to even get pastors to be thinking about it in those terms, because women do need to be healed after that abortion experience. A lot of the anger that we see from many of the women, the social behaviors of drug addiction and alcoholism and increased promiscuity, et cetera, comes from that abortion decision. But when you have pastors who have participated in the abortion decision themselves, either they
paid
for someone before they became a pastor, or they counseled one of their parishioners to get an abortion, or actually took one of them, it's hard to now get them to stand up because of the fear of their exposure for what they did. But I think that we have to go there, but we have to be equipped with resources to help them and pointing them to assistance that may not be the church, the typical church environment resource. So, for example, many women are not going to want to go to a Rachel's Vineyard retreat for a weekend, or they may not want to do a 2 or 3 week Bible study like Surrender the Secret and some of the others. So what happens with those women? Well, if the pastor is trained on recognizing, one, that some of these women are post-abortive, but two, recognizing the behavior so that he can get members of his congregation trained to be able to help these women, that's the kind of resources we want to offer. So I will be doing training sessions for pastors in different areas around the country to help them recognize the post-abortive woman, and can send some of their leaders to get the training so that they can help these women process through their loss.
You know, here at Grace and Truth Church, my husband and I are both pastors here, and we have a lot of people that are trained to do this. We actually have a class, a 10-week class, if anybody's watching and they're in the area, a 10-week post-abortive class. I don't teach it. It's taught by women who've had abortions. So they're not judging you. They want to help you. And we have it here at the church. You can call me at 631-681-7275 if you want to be part of that. We're here to help you. But I think every church should be doing these things.
Amen. And Catherine, what a great interview. We were down to the last. Minute. We just want to thank you for a wonderful interview, the wonderful work you are doing. We're behind you. We're united with you, and we're on your side. And
thank you, Catherine.
We can do this together.
Yes.
Amen. And we'd love to reach out to you. We'll still speak with you, and we'll get together. And we got some great things going on.
Thank you for being our guest. You're a great guest, Catherine. God bless you.
If any of your viewers want to link arms with me, they can reach me through the restorationproject.life. They can email me at Catherine@therestorationproject.life. And if any of your viewers and listeners want to be one of the 100, they can make a secure donation on my website, and or they can mail it to me at the Restoration Project, P.O. Box 1780, Star Mountain, Georgia, 30086.
Great. We have it up on
you
the board.
You hear that, guys? Mail that check.
Yes, we have all the information up on the screen, too. Catherine, we love you. We didn't say you could be a history maker.
Come on.
That's all she wrote, folks.
That was a good show.